Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. The readings today, there are a couple of things that we have to consider. First of all, as we look at the first reading, to see the response of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you may recall, got himself in some hot water with God because he had an anger problem. God actually had to silence him for a while because he said, hey, look, until you can learn to bring forth the sacred without the profane, you can't speak on my behalf. So here we see Jeremiah's anger coming out once again. And it's kind of humorous in a way when you think about it. He's upset, and rightly so, because they're trying to kill him. So what's his response? Kill them. It's like, oh, really? I don't want them killing me, but it's okay if they get killed. It doesn't work. We look at that and compare that to our Lord's response, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What Jeremiah say? Don't forgive them for this sin. And so we have to look at our own self in that way and ask ourselves, what's our response when there are injustices that come our direction? Are we willing to forgive them? Or do we seek some kind of vengeance? Do we want to get even with what these people want to do? Those are hard things. Again, it's a matter of justice, and so the natural response is, this is wrong and this needs to be addressed, which is true, but we can't always do that. So justice would require that, but we have to remember that God is the just judge. So one day those people are going to have to stand before him. So what we really want is to pray for their conversion, because if they don't repent, they're not going to get into heaven. Now again, in our own self-righteousness and our arrogance, then we say stupid things like, if that person's in heaven, then I don't want to go to heaven. Oh, really? You'd rather go to hell because somebody you don't like might be in heaven. Where's the forgiveness and where's the mercy? And where's the intelligence? I'd rather go to hell because God is merciful to that person that I don't like. Really? Let's at least be reasonable, as well as Christian. But I mean, why would you prefer not to go to heaven? That just doesn't even make sense. A pagan could even figure that out. But then we come to the deeper issue. And that is the question where we hear these Gentiles, these Greeks that come, and they talk to Philip. They say, we want to see Jesus. And when Philip and Andrew come to our blessed Lord and say, hey, there are these people that want to talk to you, he says, well, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. It's like, wait a second, what's that have to do with these people asking to talk to you? It has to do with the fact that now it's not just the Jewish people, but it is the Gentiles as well who are now seeking the Lord. But they have to seek him for the right reason, because they heard that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. It sets us up for what we're going to be doing tomorrow. This is why, as we see, the people are bringing the palm branches and laying them out in front of our Lord, crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David, because he had raised Lazarus from the dead, and they all had witnessed it. So, great thing, obviously. But did they want Jesus for who he was? Or did they want Jesus for who they wanted him to be? And that's why he then immediately redirects the issue. He is not just the Savior of the Jewish people. He's the Savior of the whole world, Jews and Gentiles alike. But there is only one means to salvation, and that is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And apart from that, no one can be saved. We're not going to be saved because Jesus was a nice guy. We're not going to be saved because Jesus worked miracles. We're not going to be saved even because he raised somebody from the dead. We are going to be saved because he died and he rose from the dead. And that's where the focus has to be placed, and that's exactly what our blessed Lord does. Even to the point of saying, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all things to myself. So it's in that same context. But even putting what Jesus said in context with Jeremiah. Jeremiah is saying, cut them off. You know, let their young men die by the sword. Let the women be childless and widows and all this nasty stuff that he's asking for. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. Jeremiah, like the other prophets, ultimately died. Well, obviously we all die, so let me make that clear. Jeremiah, like all the other prophets, was put to death. They killed him. But by the time they killed him, he wasn't spewing a whole bunch of hatred anymore. God had purified him. And so he could bear great fruit. And here we are now, 2,700 years later, and we still read Jeremiah. And great fruit continues to be borne by the prophet because he demonstrated the truth of his prophecy by dying. If he hadn't been put to death because of who he was, we probably wouldn't be reading him. But he demonstrated the truth, not only by his death in that case, but by his disposition, which had completely changed with time. So for us now to look at Jesus and recognize, yes, if he didn't die, we wouldn't be saved. So just like when the high priests say, oh, if you're the Messiah, come down from that cross and we'll believe, it's like, no, we believe because he didn't come down from the cross. That's precisely the point. He died so that we could live. He could have come down from the cross and he would have lived. For what? Another 30, 40, 50 years? Then what? The rest of us would be doomed. Because he died, it bears much fruit. That fruit is within us. Now it's time for us. We first, like Jeremiah, have to learn to die to ourselves. We don't necessarily have to be martyred. That was the call for the prophets. That was obviously the reason Jesus came into this world. That may not be our call. If it is, then that's what we need to do. But if it's not, all of us, regardless of what our call is, must die to self. We're not going to be able to die for the Lord, even if he's calling you to be a martyr, unless we can die to ourselves first. If we're not living our life for him, but for ourselves, then we're not going to bear any fruit. And our Lord told us that he called us and sent us to bear great fruit. Not even just a little bit, a lot. None of us is going to do that unless we die to ourselves. So that's the part that has to come first. That's what Jeremiah had to learn. So when you read Jeremiah, and you read any of the prophets, I mean, the wonderful thing about the prophets is that they're so human. Everything just comes out. You see the humanness of it. Yes, everything they wrote is inspired by God, but you see their personality come out. You recognize, that guy's just like me in many ways. And you realize God chose people who were very imperfect, just like you and me, and he worked with them to be able to get them to the point where, like Jeremiah, he could bring forth the sacred without the profane. He had that total change in his disposition, where he wasn't just lashing out in anger and saying, kill them all. But rather, he was willing to accept God's will in his life and would want the forgiveness of the people. So one other point that came up in the reading for us to remember as we go through now these next few days. Remember the question that they asked in the gospel. Jesus said, when the Son of Man is raised, and they said, "Who is this Son of Man?" That comes from the 7th chapter of the book of the prophet Daniel. Remember the vision that Daniel saw with the thousands and thousands and myriads upon myriads that are waiting on the throne of God. And he said, "Then one like a Son of Man was presented before the throne of God." That's where that comes from. The prophet Ezekiel speaks of himself. God talks to Ezekiel as the Son of Man. That's not the one that we're talking about here. The Son of Man that Jesus refers to himself as is the one from Daniel. He is lifted up from the earth. He is presented before God. He draws all things to himself. We have to be drawn to the cross the first time our Lord was raised up from the earth, before we can come to the resurrection the second time he was raised up from the earth, before we can get to the ascension and the glorification, which is the third time he was raised up from the earth. It is in that order that he draws us to himself. So now, in this next week especially, it's this whole life, obviously, but in this next week especially, to draw to the cross so that we can come to the resurrection on Easter, and we look forward to when we too are lifted up in the resurrection from the dead, in the glorification in heaven.